We're going to start with Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to be looking, beginning in verse number 20. Number 27, 20. We're dealing tonight with the unchangeable priesthood of Christ, by which we mean that his priesthood will never change to anyone else, because he will be living forever and ever. So far in our study of Hebrews, we have seen that Christ is superior to angels. We've also seen that Christ is superior to Moses, or worthy of more glory than Moses. In this message tonight, we will complete the third major division in Hebrews, which shows that Christ has a more excellent ministry than the Levitical priests. All of these things are intended to warn the Jews who had professed faith in Christ, but who were contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity and returning to Judaism, against doing this. They should instead persevere in their trials and continue to trust Christ as their Savior. In Hebrews 4:14 through 16, we have seen that we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, and he is Jesus, the Son of God. Whereas the high priest in the Old Testament had his place of ministry in the tabernacle and eventually in the temple, Christ's place of ministry is in heaven itself. This in itself made Christ superior as a high priest in comparison with the Levitical high priests. We have seen that unlike the Levitical high priests, who were sinners, Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, but he never committed any sin. This also makes him superior to the high priest, or as a high priest in comparison to the Levitical high priests. In Hebrews 5:1-10, we have seen that Christ is a high priest like Melchizedek rather than like the Levitical priests. We've also seen an appeal and warning in Hebrews 5:11-6:12, which, because of the reader's spiritual dullness, urges them to go on in Christ, lest some be found among them who are not genuinely saved. In 6:13-20, it was seen that Christ became the believer's forerunner within the veil, whereas the Levitical high priest entered into the Holy of Holies annually, meaning once each year, as the representative of God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the believer's great high priest, entered into the heavenly Holy Holies as their forerunner. The fact that Jesus Christ is the believer's forerunner as well as his high priest implies that the believer can likewise follow him into the very presence of God. Whereas Christ could enter his Father's presence on the basis of his own righteousness, a believer is enabled to enter into his heavenly Father's presence on the basis of Christ's righteousness, which has been credited to the believer's account. Once again, this makes Christ as a high priest superior in comparison with the Levitical high priests. In Hebrews 7, the main idea is that Christ has a more excellent ministry than the Levitical priests. And we are in the process of seeing that perfection did not come through the Levitical priesthood because no sin was able to be removed through it. By contrast, the high priestly ministry of Christ has brought about perfection in believers by the removal of their sins. In this message, we will see that Christ's high priesthood is superior to the Levitical high priesthood because Christ was made a high priest with an oath, whereas they were not made high priests with oaths. We will also see that Christ's priesthood goes on forever in contrast to the Levitical priesthood, which changed from one priest to another every time one of the high priests died. As we begin in verses 20 through 21, we see that unlike the Levitical high priests, Jesus was made a high priest with an oath. And in as much as not without an oath, he was made priest. Verse 20 reveals another reason Jesus is a better high priest than those high priests under the Levitical system. Inasmuch as, in verse 20, is to be connected with by so much in verse 22. Inasmuch as means to the degree that. When taken together, inasmuch as and by so much are understood in the sense to the degree that and to the same degree. Thus, inasmuch as not without an oath means to the degree that not without an oath, or to the degree that not without taking an oath. Now, not without an oath is a little awkward. It is an emphatic way of saying with an oath. Thus, inasmuch as not without an oath means to the degree that with an oath. He was made priest is in italics, indicating that it was supplied by the translators in order to aid the understanding of the English reader. There is an ellipsis in the thought of the writer. An ellipsis is something which is not stated, but which is implied. There is an ellipsis, something not stated, in the thought of the writer who did not fully express or state his thought. The translators have supplied what the writer was thinking and what is to be assumed by the reader. Now, you folks who are married know when your spouse says something to you and leaves out a phrase or two, you know what is intended because you know the context. It's not something that we're unfamiliar with in life. There are many ellipses, and we know exactly what is intended. He, which refers to Jesus, and was made priest, have been supplied from the context, and of course you can tell that by the italics. Jesus was appointed a priest according to Hebrews 5:6, when God said, "This is my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Jesus was not only appointed a priest, he was appointed a priest with an oath. This oath is introduced in the next verse. By contrast, the Levitical priests were only appointed as priests, but no oath was involved. We see parentheses surrounding verse 21. Verse 21 is set off from verses 20 and 22 by parentheses in order to explain that the Levitical priests were appointed, but no oath was taken, whereas Jesus was both appointed and an oath was involved. Now, a parenthetical statement is a statement which is included. It does not advance the narrative, but provides additional information. Four indicates the beginning of an explanation. In the phrase, "those priests were made without an oath, those priests, is referring to the Levitical priests, were made suggests an action which took place in the past, whose result has continued to the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews. It is used in the sense of have been made or have become. Without an oath is the same phrase used in verse 20, where it is used in the sense of without taking an oath, but introduces a contrast. This is this one, or he, and refers to Jesus, was made a priest, or has become a priest, should be supplied in this verse by the reader to complete the meaning in English. With an oath, or with taking an oath, is in contrast to without an oath in the previous verse. The oath was by him that said, or through the one saying. It refers to God the Father, and unto him or to him refers to Christ. What was said is quoted from Psalm 110:4, which says, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, take note that Lord in Psalm 110:4 is in all capital letters. This means that it's translating the Hebrew word Yahweh or Jehovah. In this verse, the Lord is God the Father. As I've said in Psalm 110:4, Lord has been placed in all capital letters in the King James Bible in order to indicate that this is Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, although some passages refer to Jesus as Yahweh or Jehovah, this one refers to God the Father as Yahweh or Jehovah. Therefore, to say that Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, which I've heard a number of times, it's not quite correct. It does indeed refer to Jesus sometimes, but not every time. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, the Holy Spirit is referred to as Jehovah or Yahweh on one occasion. Psalm 110:4 is an example of Lord referring to God the Father rather than to Jesus. Swear means took an oath. It is to be understood as emphasizing the result of its action in the sense of has sworn or has taken an oath and will not repent. Suggests, and he will not change his mind. Therefore he swore, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thou, of course, is referring to Jesus, and he is a priest. This is not a temporary situation. Forever means that this will never change. After the order of Melchizedek suggests just like Melchizedek, and this exact wording has been referred to a number of times throughout this passage in Hebrews 4:14 through 7:28. In verse 22, we see that Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant than what the people had in the law. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Verse 22 is resuming the thought of verse 20, and by so much is to be connected with inasmuch as in verse 20. I've already said it, but I'll repeat it. Taken together, they mean to the degree that, and to the same degree. To the degree that Jesus was made a priest with an oath, to that same degree was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. was made is has been made or has become. Its perfect tense indicates an action which has taken place in the past with its result continuing on. In the past, Jesus was made, or in the past, Jesus became a surety of a better testament, and he remains so. He is still a surety or guarantee of a better covenant or testament, both today and forever. There will never be any improving on Jesus as our great high priest. A surety is a guarantee, and a testament reminds one of a covenant. Jesus thus guarantees a better covenant than what the people had in the law. Next, in verse 23, we see that there were many Levitical high priests because of death. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Verse 23 continues the thought that Christ's priesthood is superior to the Levitical priesthood. And they truly suggests, and they on the one hand, truly is emphatic and suggests indeed or in fact. It is in contrast to the next verse, meaning verse 24, where the Greek text begins with but. They refers to the Levitical priests, particularly the high priests, and were many priests, is have become many priests or have been made many priests. Many, which is used to describe priests, is used in the sense of more, many more, or a large number of. It means that there were a lot of these Levitical priests. Why? Because they were not suffered, because they were hindered, because they were prevented, or because they were forbidden. And what they were prevented from doing is to continue, which is used in the sense of to continue as priests and implies to continue in the office of high priest. By reason of death is simply because of death. Death prevented each of the Levitical high priests from being a high priest forever. Death terminated each high priest's ministry, and at death, each one was succeeded by someone else. In addition, we see in verse 24 that because Christ lives forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, but indicates that verse 24 provides a contrast with verse 23. This man is simply he and refers to Christ. Because he continueth ever is because he, meaning because Christ remains forever, because he lasts forever, because he persists forever, or because he continues to live forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It means has a permanent priesthood or has a priesthood without a successor. Consequently, Jesus is better than the Levitical priests, and his high priestly ministry is better than theirs. Jesus will never die, so he will never need a successor. We furthermore see in verse 25 that because his priesthood is unchangeable, Christ is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. It doesn't make any difference how much sin a person has committed. He is able to come to God the Father through Christ if he will. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wherefore is therefore, for which reason, or hence, and reminds the readers that Jesus is better than the Levitical priests because he has a priesthood which does not change from one person to another at death like the Levitical priests. He is the only priest that believers will ever have to deal with. He refers to Jesus, is able to suggest that he can. Also is used for emphasis. He is able also to save, to rescue, or to deliver, and is the normal word for the salvation of the soul. The ones he is able to save, to rescue, or to deliver are them that come unto God by him, which means the ones who are coming to God the Father through him, or the ones who are approaching God the Father through him. It refers to saved people, you know, you and me and others like us, to those who have approached God the Father by means of Jesus Christ, rather than to those who are attempting to come to God the Father through some other way. He's able to save them to the uttermost. It may suggest completely, wholly, or entirely. Or it may instead be used to indicate time and be understood in the sense of forever or for all time. The fact is, both of those are true. The reason Jesus is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him is seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, even if your mother no longer prays for you as a believer, Jesus is always praying to God the Father for you as an individual believer. You suppose his prayers get answered? Of course they do. Seeing he liveth is understood in the sense of because he lives, inasmuch as he lives, or since he lives. Ever is always or at all times. To make indicates the purpose for which he lives, and it's used in the sense of in order that, or for the purpose that he make. And what he makes is intercession. To make intercession means to approach, to appeal to petition, or to plead with. And it implies that God, it is God the Father whom Jesus approaches, appeals to, petitions, or pleads with. If you remember, Don, I'm away from the notes for a sentence or two. Don preached through 1 John recently. Did an excellent job, by the way, and we thank him for that. You would see in 1 John 2:1 that Jesus is an advocate or a lawyer, an attorney, that he's on our side, an attorney with us with the Father. He makes intercession for them. It suggests on behalf of them, where them refers to the ones who come to God the Father through him, those who come boldly unto the throne of grace, that they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, just like we did. When we got saved, we came boldly unto the throne of grace, and as a result, we obtained mercy, and we found grace to help in our time of need. How privileged we are. We also see in verse 26 that Christ, rather than the Levitical priest, is the kind of high priest believers need. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Verse 26 describes the appropriateness of the Lord Jesus as the believer's high priest. For is used in the sense of now. Such an high priest is simply a high priest such as he is. Became us, suggests was fitting for us, was suitable for us, was seemly for us, or was appropriate for us. Where us refers to genuinely saved people. Of course, that includes us here in this church as well, doesn't it? It means that Jesus is just the sort of high priest believers needed. And the implication is that the Levitical priests were not the sort of high priests that believers needed. But he is exactly what you and I need. Who is introduces a series of descriptions of the Lord Jesus as the believer's great high priest. Holy is not the ordinary term translated holy, but is one which means devout, pious, or pleasing to God. Jesus is holy. He's also harmless. It's literally without evil, meaning innocent, guileless, or undefiled. And it suggests that he was without blemish. Undefiled suggests that he was pure or free from contamination. Separate means separated or divided. Its tense indicates an activity which has occurred in the past, whose result has continued on. He has always been separated or divided from sinners and suggests from the entire group known or referred to as sinners. It may mean that he has been physically separated from sinful men by being exalted to the right hand of God. Or it may mean that he has been separated from sinners because of his holiness. Both things are true. He has indeed been exalted to the right hand of God, where no sinners will ever be found. If no sinners are going to be found there, there's not going to be any sin found there either that you have failed to confess in this lifetime. That's already gone. It was gone with the old nature at the rapture. Furthermore, although men are sinners, he is pure. Jesus is pure and has never committed so much as a single act of sin. My guess is that we all wish that we hadn't committed any acts of sin either. But not only never, but even in the last hour. You know how it goes. We still have problems, don't we? Made higher than the heavens is having been made higher than the heavens, and it reminds the readers that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, where he is exalted above the heavens. Moreover, in verse 27, we see that unlike the Levitical priests who daily had to offer for their own sins, as well as for the people's sins, Christ offered himself once for all time for the sins of the people. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's? For this he did once when he offered up himself. Verse 27 continues the contrast between Jesus, the great high priest, and the Levitical priests, particularly the high priests of the Levitical system. Who refers to Jesus? Needeth not is does not have need, does not have necessity, or does not have compulsion. Daily is day by day or day after day, as those high priests is simply just as the high priest, meaning like the high priests of the Levitical system, does not need daily to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. This indicates what those Levitical high priests had to do on a daily basis. To offer up sacrifices is simply to offer sacrifices. These are the Levitical priests, they first had to offer sacrifices for their own sins. First suggests earlier, beforehand, or previously, in contrast with the word then in two lines down here. For his own sins is on behalf of his own sins, his being the high priest's sins. And then he had to offer for the people's sins. It suggests then on behalf of the people's sins. As we know, the reason Jesus did not have to offer for his own sins is that he is separate from sinners, which indicates that Jesus was not among the group known as sinners. He did not have any sins that he needed to offer for. Our new natures are like that. We're glad for that. But our old sin natures still plague us, don't they? Whereas the separation from earth to heaven is indicated by the last half of verse 26. The first half of verse 27 indicates that he is separate from sinners and that he is not part of the group known as sinners. The high priest would daily make offering for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Jesus never had to offer daily sacrifices, and he did not ever have to offer for his own sins because he didn't have any. But he did offer once for all time for the sins of the people. For suggests because. This refers to Christ's one-time offering for the sins of the people. This he did, reminds the readers that he offered for the sins of the people once. Now, you can't tell that in the English, but that word translated once is the Greek word which means once for all time. It does not mean once for all people, even though that's true. The word means once for all time. It means it was a never to be repeated thing. The thought is one time forever was Jesus' sacrifice for you adequate? Of course it was. When he offered up himself, tells the readers the time when Jesus made an offering for the sins of the people. It is literally offering up himself. It's understood in the sense of when he offered himself or by offering himself. Whereas the high priests offered animal sacrifices, Jesus offered himself. Finally, and I know it's a little early for you to be thinking about the word finally being the last thought, but we started early. How's that? Whereas the law appointed men who were sinners to be high priests, the oath made Christ a high priest. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Verse 28 concludes the contrast between the high priest of the Levitical system and the Lord Jesus Christ. for is explanatory and is used in the sense of now. The law refers to the Mosaic law. Maketh is ordains or appoints. Men is the generic term which means human beings. The law appoints men to be high priests, even though human beings might include females. No female ever was appointed to be a high priest. It was always a male. But the description of these men is which have infirmity or having weakness. It's understood in the sense of although they have weakness. It is because of this weakness that the Levitical priests have to offer for their own sins as well as for the people's. But introduces a contrast. The word of the oath, the word of the swearing, it refers to what God the Father swore when he said, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," which refers to the oath of the swearing which God made was since the law, means it was after the law, indicating that the law was given historically before God made this oath. The law was given in the book of Exodus, which was written by Moses somewhere around 1444 BC. Now, I come to that date because the Exodus is viewed as being 1445, and it's about a year later. But the oath was not made until Psalm 110, which David wrote during his lifetime. He reigned as king in Israel from around 1011 to 971 BC. And as you can see, that's 400 to 450 years later. The oath was given, whereas the law preceded the giving of the oath by well over 400 years. As indicated by the italics, maketh has been supplied by the translators in order to be parallel to the first phrase in verse 28, and it's used in the sense of ordains or appoints. The Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is consecrated forevermore, describes him. Is consecrated is the term meaning having been made perfect or having been completed. Forevermore is simply forever. Christ is perfected forever in the sense stated in Hebrews 5, 8 through 10. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author or originator of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him or believe on him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Although the law could make nothing perfect, God could, and God did. He did it by sending his son to die on the cross to pay for the sins of all humanity. It is Jesus who is the believer's great high priest, and he continues forever as the believer's great high priest. We'll never need a different one. So, in writing to the Jewish people, the writer of Hebrews is basically saying, you Jewish people who are contemplating abandoning Christianity and returning to Judaism are making a big mistake, because Jesus and his high priesthood are superior to the Levitical priests and their high priesthood. Don't abandon your confidence in Christ. And I say the same thing to all of us, including myself. Don't ever abandon your confidence in Christ. He is your Lord and Savior. live your lives for Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege of looking at this passage of Scripture and having an understanding of it. Thank You for providing Jesus to die on the cross and pay for our sins and rise again from the dead, thereby guaranteeing that You had accepted His sacrifice on our behalf. Bless these dear people. Thank You for each one. Bless those listening over the internet as well. Meet their needs. You know who they are and where they are and when they're listening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.